The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Player, coach, pain in the ass. He's done it all on the gridiron, from South Bend to Arrowhead. From football on the radio, back to football, then more radio, then a little more football, and now radio again. It's Tim Grunhard on the program.
Yes. Go ahead. You let me know when that's on. We'll get going.
So
that's pretty good.
Here's the issue, is that sometimes you're quick on the draw, and then other times you're not.
That's why he needs Roman.
I was going to say, Tim, man.
That's not where I was going with that. The point is, when I turned the mics on early.
Low-hanging fruit.
I get yelled at for having the mics on. Well, you can't turn them on. Crotty said you never know what that jackass is going to say. And then when they're not on, you're admonished.
You're having a tough day today.
It's almost as if Jed can never win.
Jed.
She's finally found out the rules of this game.
I have to turn off my ring.
See? Grunhard, jackass.
Turn off my ring.
He just says things.
Why are you picking on me? I didn't do anything.
Just says things that occur to him.
Sorry, I was distracted.
Anything. I like
blue. God forbid we're doing a show here.
Well, you know, Shane's making a beverage run, and so I'm like, all right. Corona Premier and a fifth of Jim Beam, please.
Yeah, that's
Grunny's here.
Grunny.
Going to need some
that's
help.
That's the draft show.
That
is the draft show. I know what you want. You want a cherry limeade.
Diet
with little ice. I don't ask for little ice. And make sure they don't put a lot of ice in it.
Yeah, because you end up with a whole cup full of freaking ice. I don't want that.
I don't even do that for my kids.
And also, then I know you don't do it because that's why you get, you know, on a 44-ounce drink, you get 4 ounces of beverage. And here's something else: put a cherry in that thing, man.
Too many limes and not enough cherries.
When I get to the bottom, there better be some fruit.
You don't want to get like scurvy. Yogurt.
Yeah.
You don't want to get scurvy.
The maraschino cherry. The
maraschino.
Most...
So I was telling Curtis, and
by the way, who knew that there's another cherry? Did you know, like, the cherries you cook with,
mm-hmm.
they suck. Yeah. Who knew? I didn't know that till like
who knew?
This year. My wife, I was like, well, my wife's like, oh, you don't want cherries, like the ones you cook with. And I'm like, yeah. Well, what's the difference? Oh, there's a big difference.
Really? I don't know. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they suck. I don't know what I don't know how they make a pie good, but it ain't the
sugar?
Cherries. It's not the cherries that go in cocktails. That are sweet and tasty.
Why wouldn't they just use the same cherry?
I don't know. It's above my pay grade.
Okay, these cherries suck. Let's put them in our food. All right. These cherries are really good. We'll put them in our cocktails.
I think it has to do with, like, when it cooks, like, maybe that brings out the something. I don't know. Do I look like Gordon Ramsay? I look like a guy who's going to charge you $80 for a burger?
Gordon Ramsay was just here in town. Stephen St. John, he was like making out with his wife. Not that I noticed that or anything. But
wait a minute. Stephen with Gordon Ramsay's wife?
No. Stephen and his beautiful wife were out at Gordon Ramsay's grand opening. And Stephen took a picture of Gordon kissing his beautiful wife. I just thought that was interesting. I don't know if I want Gordon Ramsay kissing my wife.
Almost no value in continuing this.
I don't.
Where is this place?
It's at the one of the casinos. I don't know.
Somebody.
It shouts its address from you.
It's one of the Harris or I don't know whatever. I
do not have enough information to continue down the path that I was going to head.
I don't know. Let's talk football, I guess.
Well, let's do, because I got. I got some things that I think are quite witty and quite funny.
Harris, North Kansas.
Harris, North Kansas.
But without full understanding and knowledge of which ground I would be standing on, I have jerked the wheel to the left, and we'll go elsewhere.
Good. Let's get back on the road.
Do not have the information I need.
There appear to be a landmine or two in that yard.
To continue down the road I was headed.
Let's change direction.
It's called Tim's post-football career. Taking a left and a right and a left and a right and a left
That's
and a right.
Coaching, radio, a little bit of teaching in there.
Yeah, not much from what I heard, but anyway, that's you know.
I would have taught your kids theology with all the gusto of a theology teacher.
Quite confident that even my 9-year-old would have probably done more of the teaching in that class.
Come on now,
my money's
I've been
on
brainwashed
them.
For in grade school, high school, and college.
Drop some theology on us right here, Tim.
So there's some knowledge. Just theology.
Just talk about theology.
Yeah.
Go.
Just roll back into your Rolodex and fire me out one of your lessons.
Okay.
Just give me the get to. What do you got? What's
some
a go
knowledge,
to?
It's some theology.
I don't know. Maybe the Titans' offensive line was parting the Red Sea. How about that?
That's awful. I thought you might
like
actually.
That?
I thought you might actually.
They
drop
were parting
some,
the Red Sea.
Some biblical knowledge, which happens in which book of the Bible?
It's in Exodus. Thank you.
I think you absolutely just lobbed a grenade and are hoping you're right.
No, it's
and counting
not.
On the fact that clearly Samuels. Curtis isn't going to call you
clearly
out on it.
Second Samuels or
and you're hoping,
Kings.
You're hoping that I
come on,
I,
listen, as much as
is
you
it
do
Ezekiel,
for
maybe? Your, I don't know.
I do not know the, I cannot quote verse and, no. You got
no,
that
the whole, the old adage is that, I'd just stop right now. Just stop.
Deuteronomy.
Not like the Baptists or the Baptists or the Christians. They know, they're like the mailmen. They know the addresses. They know all the people. They know everything. And the Catholics are just in the neighborhood. They just they know where the neighborhood is at, right? They know, hey, listen, you know, I'm in Exodus neighborhood. I don't know what Exodus 5:18 is. That's what the Christians and the Baptists, they know that. They know the people
better.
Live in those houses.
They're better
the Catholics,
people.
They just know the area.
Exodus 14, by the way.
Yep, there you go.
Nice work.
Good work, Tim.
Thank you.
Wow, you looked it up?
Yep, very good.
Timmy.
All
right,
Timmy.
I can go home now.
Preaching the gospel.
Timmy.
So your overall reaction to what occurred in Nashville?
Well,
were you there?
I was not there. I was.
It's all right. So
I was not there. Very disappointing.
I'm hearing more and more about some of the folks that went down there, and it doesn't seem like there was like a, you know, there's a liver that's going to make it more than 3 years past that trip, from what I'm hearing now.
Well, from the people here.
No, from the people who went down there.
From 810 WHB that went down there.
I've a lot of different folks I've checked on. Apparently, they had quite a time. The Kansas
well, Nashville,
Indians.
You can have a great time in Nashville.
It's
you've
not,
been
it's
to
not
Nashville.
Impossible to find a drop in Nashville.
Went down and eliminated the Nashville Predators with the San Jose Sharks.
Oh,
I say
yeah,
we.
Right. Yeah.
We.
We. I was there. I helped it happen in a playoff hockey series 1 year.
Well, good job.
Yeah, thanks.
That's good stuff.
Him and his buddy Joe Thornton.
You know, I'm a little I am
Jumbo Joe was there.
I am
so
concerned.
Was Justin, so was Jumbo Justin Schultz.
Yes. Second largest, biggest Sharks fan. I don't mean size. I mean rooting capacity. No,
that would be accurate as well.
Yeah.
So your reaction
a little
to the
concerned.
Game.
A little concerned about some of the things that are happening out there on the field with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm afraid it's becoming a trend. And if you have this trend and this trend continues, they're going to have these kind of games. First of all, the Kansas City Chiefs, the trend has been this year, and it really reared its ugly head, the penalties. Way too many penalties. Way too many, you know, stopping their feet, not finishing a block, you know, not knowing the rule, just some of the things that you have to know and you have to do in order to win a football game. Penalties will kill you. I think they had, what, I have it in notes here, 8 penalties, or no, they were penalized 5 times in the first quarter. I mean, you just can't do that. Hands to the face. You're getting reached. Jones is getting reached, and instead of fighting across the guy's face, he puts his hand up in his face. That's a little bit of laziness, a little bit of not finishing plays, a little bit of not paying attention to the little things. And then you go to special teams, and special teams this year, and Dave Tobe, who's one of my favorite coaches, I think he's might be one of the best special team coaches in the NFL. They're not playing very good this year, and it's really a reflection on him.
Did you just say he might be?
Might be.
Statistically speaking, he's the best special teams coach that's ever lived.
Yeah. Well, they're struggling this year, and I know he's very, very frustrated by that. But then once again, that's the players. The players are lacking right now in some of the little things. They're not making good decisions on special teams. You see Hardman in some of the decisions he's making, which are poor decisions. We've talked about it week after week after week after week. Every time he comes off the field, he goes over to Dave Tobe. Dave Tobe, you could tell, is very frustrated with some decisions he's making, but continues to put him back out there. So I can imagine, and I don't know this for a fact, but I can imagine that Andy Reid sat down with his coaches, whether it was Sunday night, right off the plane, and said, hey, listen, guys, and Marty did this a bunch. We'll be in the office. So get in your cars, you know, grab a Taco Bell and get to the office because we're meeting. And so Andy could do that. And say,
well, that's troubling.
Yeah. Well, what they need.
I'm talking about where he had him going.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know.
That gun.
I know you're more of a McDonald's guy, but
no, I just don't. Nah, you're
pummeling me with those.
I got no aversion to any fast food. Yeah. Now, trust me, I'm not looking down my nose on that. I'm just thinking a room full of football coaches that have all just had Taco Bell
could be a problem.
But I hope it has windows.
But you know, they go you go in there and you sit down and say, "Listen, guys, we're losing some of these guys, and they're doing some things that we can't have them do in order to win football games," and then the next day when they meet with the players, I'm sure that Andy's let them know. So, I mean, hopefully he's let them know because there are some things that they're doing that, I mean, you just can't win football games. I understand you're going to have games where, listen, you're going to have a hot running back and he's going to run. And really a lot of the problems in the run defense was over-pursuing once again. I think the Chiefs, when they try too hard, all of a sudden they start to push a little bit. When they push, it's not a very good team at you know, when they're gap sound and they're doing things correctly, they play well. But when they feel like they're starting to lose it a little bit, they try to do too much, and that's what would happen, I thought, in the second half of the game. And the Titans said, listen, we're going to run the ball, as simple as that. So, you know, I'm just worried about the messaging right now from Andy Reid to this team and this team listening to Andy Reid.
And I think that's fair. Let me ask you this, though. Statistically speaking, and Curtis pointed this out, it's only the second time in 92 games. Curtis got this whole list of things, plus an hour and a half in time of possession.
It was plus
1,000 yards, and what were the numbers?
It was plus 150 yards in total offense, plus 15 minutes in time of possession, and even on the turnovers.
Right.
So 91 games going in,
all
they,
that,
they lost once.
And saying all that, that really kind of feeds into my point, that it's the little things that they're screwing up game.
But this is what I'm asking you. Is it also possible that just an unbelievable set of coincidences occurred, that the Chiefs did everything they really wanted to in this game, yardage-wise, possession-wise? They did, you know, they didn't take it away. The one takeaway they got is, you know, it counts, but still, literally, it was half-assed. Like, half his ass was sitting on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that it was just this, you know, unbelievable list of occurrences that all happened together that we really need to be focusing more on. They dominated that game statistically. And that game is more like the last three than it is the Colts and Texans. I mean, they were still in it. It still took last-second stuff to happen. They still had an opportunity. They still botched two things at the end that would have got it for them. And this was an anomaly more than anything.
Well, I'm not saying you bury this team, and I'm not saying that Andy Reid's, you know, not doing a good job at the things that he's good at.
Well, I want to get into the Reid thing. I think there's some Reid stuff, but I'm just saying on the game.
What, in the game, if you look at it, each game comes down to about two or three plays. And, you know, everybody always talks about all the different plays and all the things that happen, but each game, and, you know, most coaches will say, listen, the game's going to come down to two or three plays. Will you be ready to react, or will you make that play? Or are you going to give that play up? And it happened in this game. It came down to the third down and two. I mean, there are plenty of situations in here. Curtis and I were talking before the segment, talking about, listen, there was a point in the middle of the second quarter, if they go up 17, there's a chance they could put that game away. There are multiple plays. In my notes here, I have 6 pages of notes, and in those notes, there's about 5 or 6 where I said, they have a chance here to put this game away. Because, listen, I watched the game on Monday. I didn't have an opportunity to watch it on Sunday. Right. So I was watching the game to see where are the points that this team shouldn't have put themselves in a position that they were in at the end of the game. And there were about 5 or 6 of those.
Right. But that's what I'm asking you, Tim. Are they a team that is chronic, that is going to, has, and will continue to chronically screw up all those points in the game? Mm-hmm. Or is this just a crappy day at the office, that it just kind of all didn't go their way. I mean, listen, if you're like, no, they got real problems. Really, no. When was the last time?
When was the last time
Winchester and Colquitt botched a snap? You know, when was the last time they had a field goal blocked? I mean, those were two critical things that haven't happened. Yeah. When was the last time Patrick Mahomes peeled out and went to a hook slide on a rollout? I mean,
give up a 50-yard fumble return touchdown.
I get it. Yes, I understand all the landmark points in this game that had they made this play, it's probably good enough to win. And had they made this one, that's my point. The Titans aren't that good.
No.
And
that's the sad thing about this whole
game. They played
game.
Marty ball and just hung around. They did what they had to do. They don't have a team that can shoot it out. So they just hung around. And to their credit, when they got down 10-0, they didn't go, well, go win it, Tannehill. Mike Vrabel's a good football coach. He may get fired at the end of this year or next year after another 8-8 year when he does great work with a lack of quarterback play. But he didn't panic. He held his water and said, listen, we might lose today. I might lose by 3 touchdowns, but I'm not going to win it throwing on every down. And he kept pounding the run, let it come back around. And there are a lot of teams that aren't going to do that. But even with all that, the Chiefs, yes, they should have won this game. What I'm interested in is, are they chronic screw-ups? Like, do you see chronic issues?
I do see issues that present themselves each week. Penalties. Bad penalties.
Real. That's real. Absolutely.
Special teams, bad decisions. Those are the things, like I said, games come down to 2 or 3 or 4 plays in a game. If you're going to have a penalty on that play, that all of a sudden that touchdown that gets called back because, a chop block? I mean, seriously, a chop block? That's just not knowing the rule. That's not lack of effort. That's not knowing the rule. That's not, crossing your T's and dotting your I's. That's a touchdown call back. And if you look at this game came down to, and I agree with you. I mean, you're not going to have the screw up on the snaps. That happens once in a generation. So, but you get down into the red zone and you get a penalty. Or you have a misassignment because guys don't know what they're doing and they're not paying attention to the little things. Now, Marty used to pound us with the little things because we didn't have the opportunity like this team. If we screwed up a couple little things, we'd lose a game because we didn't have the kind of talent and the ability this team has to score at will. So the little things were really important. So when you get in a close game like the Chiefs were last week, the little things are so important. You can't settle for 3 in the red zone. You can't have penalties in the red zone. You can't turn the ball over. You gotta win the battle on 2 or 3 fronts: offense, defense, or special teams. And you know, if you look at this game, the Chiefs really did win on offense, and they were pretty damn. It's as bad as they looked. They were pretty damn close on defense until they said, "Listen, we're just gonna run the ball, and we're gonna wear you out, and that's just attrition." They were. I didn't think that the defensive coordinator, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now,
for the Chiefs, yeah. Steve Spagnuolo.
Spags. I didn't think Spags had a bad game plan in that game. I just think the guys. Listen, I thought they were turning away some tackles towards the end, which is another concern too. So there are some things that concern me. No, I do not think that there's a lot of chronic problems because I do think Andy Reid is a quality coach. I think Andy Reid knows how to win. I know you think he puts his teams in position to win, but you have got to refocus, and I think this is a refocus time. Now, whether this team could sit down and look at themselves in the mirror and not think that, hey, we're going to be a Super Bowl team, we're going to win the AFC West, everything's going to be fine, and if that's what they're thinking and they're not looking inward and saying, listen, we've got to correct some of these turnovers. We've got to correct some of these misassignments. We've got to correct the kicking field goals in the red zone that we had, the games that we've lost. You know, we've got to correct when the offensive team is running the ball against us, we start to overplay and over-pursue, and then the cutback is there. We've got to do our jobs. So what I'm saying is it's a really good time for this team to either, A, refocus and say, we are a good football team, but we are doing some of the little things really crappy, or B, say, hey, we're fine, everything is good, it was just a fluke, and let's go on to the next game, because if they do that, they're going to lose a bunch more.
All right, we'll take a break. More with Tim Grunhard. We'll get into what some of the other chronic problems are with the Chiefs and whether or not they're fixable. We'll do that next here in the program.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz, end of the hour answer. Since overtime in the regular season began in 1974, how many Monday night games have ended in a tie? We came fairly close to that last night.
Which would have been fine with me since I was Hawks in the six.
Hello.
Thank you. Yeah. We talked about that with Eric Eager.
Now you
points,
had that,
don't want them, don't need them. Take the money line.
I thought they were talking about last night. I thought this maybe was one, and it was like 73 or something, or 74.
I'll go with Tim.
You're close. One.
One. Yeah.
Cardinals.
We're not close.
I was right.
As far as the year.
You didn't ask the year, though.
Oh, yeah, I just asked one. You nailed the number, which was the answer. And you were close. 1983 was
I knew there was a three.
Were the Jets involved in that?
Cardinals and Giants.
Yeah,
Jim Hannifin v. Bill Parcells. It was Parcells' rookie season as head coach.
Hey, Richard, I can't believe I can't lose any weight. This is Bill Parcells. While he's sitting in the steam room, he goes, I don't understand why I can't lose any weight. And he's got a big bucket of vanilla ice cream he's eating in the steam room.
That was Parcells?
Yeah. Parcells is sitting there. Richard, I can't lose any weight.
And
he looks over
Richard?
To Baldinger.
Oh.
Yeah. Baldy's like looks over and he's got a big bucket of vanilla ice cream
that was gonna be
slobbering
like
on his chest.
Like a Charlie Weiss story or something that he was.
I'll give you a good Charlie Weiss story. And Charlie has been known to do this, and a lot of coaches do this. We were talking about it at the break, and we're talking about players and how Beach may have his guys. I heard last hour, it was really good stuff about, hey, there's a lot of politics that go on to, who brings in who or, who's going to put their name and stand on the table for a guy. So Charlie would say, if let's say there was a kid out there and he was just getting worked and could not compete and just kept getting beat and just looked horrible out there, Charlie wouldn't yell at the kid. He'd say, who recruited that kid? And then he'd call you over and he said, I'm not going to yell at the kid for being really bad and not being able to compete. I'm going to yell at you for bringing him in here. You're the one who evaluated him. You're the one that gave him a scholarship, talked me into giving him a scholarship. You're the one that, put the tape in front of us, and now he can't compete. So I'm blaming you.
Is that really, should we be quoting from the Book of Weiss?
No, that's
right,
most coaches. Not just Charlie Weiss. No.
The Book of Weiss.
We've quoted so far. Leviticus.
Football coaching success.
Leviticus and Weiss.
That's the only
two books.
That's the only one I experienced, but
Weiss,
I know that a lot
four,
of guys have had to go
seven.
Through that.
Hallelujah.
So here's what I'm thinking.
All right.
Chronic problems, right? Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, was this an accumulation of chronic problems that have occurred and are going to continue to occur? And, against better competition, they don't have to have nine things go wrong to lose to, like, one of the two teams we saw last night, the 49ers and Seahawks. That was an epic game.
Epic. Great game.
What a great football game that was. The turnovers weren't mistakes. They were great plays by the other team.
Yeah, the Russell throw.
I think it was a great scheme.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And some pressure.
Nice play by a linebacker.
Yeah. But it was a really good game and a fun game to watch. A couple of things that jump out at me is chronic.
Did you think that free agent field goal kicker had any chance of making that field goal to tie the game? I said, there's no way he's going to make it. And then when he made it, I was like, is he really going to make another one?
That he didn't come close to the one in OT. Went into a tunnel.
Well, no, you're talking about the Seahawk kid who did make it.
I'm talking about the 49er kid who's been here from Illinois.
Whatever, yeah.
He was there for like 3 days.
Yeah. No.
Sorry to interrupt you.
I did not think he was going to make it.
Yeah.
I was already prepped and ready for OT.
Yeah.
Because I did not think that thing was ending right there. Let's start with this. I mean, are there I know Andy Reid. Well,
go ahead.
I know he's got a clicker, a film thing. You watch tape on a TV screen now. You're not in a smoky room with the reel-to-reel anymore. But I know he's got the tape machine. Is he watching it with Cam Irving? Is he seeing what we're seeing? Oh. And I'm not even talking about taking him off the field. Cam Irving is an athletic guy. There's no punch. There is no punch whatsoever. There's no.
Well, there's a punch, but but he misses.
There's no punch. Even when he hits, it does not knock anybody back.
Oh, it's so bad.
There's no punch. Lead in his ass. Which is a term meaning he can be driven straight back. There's no anchor to him, and that's okay. He is athletic. He had a great block on the first run of the game. He got out in front, and because he's athletic, in space running around, that's where he's good.
Put him at fullback.
But. Well,
go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
What you have to do is you have to acknowledge what he is and quit hoping that he's going to be more. He needs help. Like, he's an athletic guy. So that means if he's got, somebody coming at him who's got a bull rush in their repertoire, the tight end's got to chip and set the guy up. Take him back a step. Because if the guy gets a two-step run at him, he'll get his hands on him and he'll drive him back into the quarterback's face. He also, and he knows that, so he overcommits. The one sack where it was just a quick swim move right by him, I think it might have even been the one that got
Schwartz
hurt,
yeah,
was just a quick swim move because he overset forward, expecting, bull rush, and he's got to overcommit. He's got to throw way more of his weight into it because he can't just get back, have a level base, and absorb the push. He's got to push back to be able to fend off a bull rush. So he went for what he thought he needed to do for a bull rush, and the guy just deked him and went with the swim move, went right by him and destroyed him. So here's the thought. Let him overset and chip. Put a guy so he can't go to the outside. When he overcommits, he's got time with the tight end to reset, get positioned, and then the tight end can go on out. I mean, time and time again. And they finally did, all right? They finally did, because there were times Kelsey was in, and they left Blake Bell in a lot because they finally were like, okay, we got to get some help here.
Yeah,
you don't need three sacks and a hurt tackle before you start doing it. He acts like every game, this is the game he turns the corner.
Remember who
he sucks.
Remember who had the big Fred Flintstone step on big Fred Flintstone foot step on Patrick Mahomes. That was Irving stepped on him. So, I mean, because he was getting pushed back. You're exactly right.
So help
right.
him.
No, yeah.
You gave $18 million to Tyreek Hill to get open. All right? You gave $16 million to Sammy Watkins to get open. And yet he floods the pattern. Again, he kept guys in at times here. But he loves to flood the pattern with five receivers and leave his humpty.
There's your answer.
Failed first-round pick from the Browns one-on-one with $10 million pass rushers. What the blank are you doing?
Well, there's your answer. I mean, he is trying to flood the zone. He's in that school that says, hey, listen, the more guys you put out, the better opportunity to have to make a play. And, I lived in that world once again, and I don't want to get to the Charlie Weiss thing, but, I mean, it's like we're keeping five guys in, so figure out a way to block these guys because I'm not keeping people in to help you when I'm going to put my quarterback in a position where he has nobody to throw to. But that's a whole different thing. So, but the one thing that they don't do, and this is – there's other options too. Turn to protection. Get a guard over there and light the defensive end's ass up a couple times and let him hesitate and look inside and say, hey, is Dave's not coming over here to lay me out? I mean, we do that all the time. But if you do that and you turn the protection, that means now you're turning the protection to the weak side backer. If you turn the protection to the weak side backer, that's who you declare. So everybody's turning. That means your back has to what? Stay in, and he's got to check Mike to Sam. He's got to check the two backers front side, and then he can release if they don't come. He's not going to do that because he wants to get his backs out in the flat because it's an option for Mahomes. So he's set his table, all right? He has set his table, and, he's like, well, Mahomes can get the ball. He can get rid of the ball quick enough where he's not going to get hit if Cam Irving just gets a finger on a guy. But there are times when he doesn't even get a finger on the guy.
Well, and that's it. And listen, if Cam Irving's doing everything he can do and he's just physically not the part,
I don't think he's a tackle.
But to your point,
lead in the ass, he can't be a guard then because you got to have some lead in your ass to play guard.
That's where Aaron Donald destroyed him.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I think his best bet would have been center because – even in the 3-4, he's not going to clear anything out against the 3-4 team, but they're in a 2-4 look all the time anyway now. There's really not a nose tackle out there very often anymore. that might be the spot where he could actually get away. But you know what?
I'd like to see what Wisniewski could do out there.
I'm not at tackle.
Yeah, he can't be any worse than what
Irving is
doing.
Athletic enough. If he's not, well, he's got athleticism. I will give him that.
Yeah, so does Tyreek Hill.
I think it's just like, you know,
you're put him at tackle.
The Patriots, like, maybe last year, what was Trent Brown? You know, they lose. Of course, they lost him again this year, and they're not well. Let's see what happens when they play some real teams. But they lost the Georgia tackle, you know, in preseason last year. So they go to Trent Brown, who ends up getting this massive contract to go to the Raiders. Trent Brown is a big. He's an old school right tackle. Big mauling type that'll wrestle you around like a bear. It's like having a tall Brian Waters out there at left tackle. They didn't ask him to handle speed rushers by himself.
No, they did not.
They would chip. Yeah. They would run little things that shovel pass around the guys who wanted to beat him up the field, let him just give him a push and then turn up the field and run. They did things to help him out, and it made him look like he was Superman, and the Raiders went and gave him his massive contract. I mean, you know, I don't – when Eric Fisher gets back, the Cam Irving thing will be solved. So in that sense, I'm like, well, is it almost just a stubborn Roy Williams thing? Like, you're banged up and not your best team, and, you know, you do not want to run with this Kentucky team because they're way better than you. But he's going to run because that's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah.
And is that what's going on here? Is that, listen,
yes,
when Fisher gets back, this will be fixed, but in the meantime, that's what we do. Well,
I know.
That it's
frustrating.
It's killing me.
Yeah.
And then,
you have to make adjustments. You know, the old adage is that you set your scheme by the players. You don't let the scheme, you know, set your players.
I've seen Cam Irving once snap at me in the locker room when I was asking him about, you know, I don't even remember what the hell it was about, you know, the difference between playing guard and tackle. No, it was like week one or two. Like the difference between playing guard and tackle, and he's like, "There's no difference. Same thing. It's just offensive line." I'm like, okay, so your drops and your pass aren't different. He's like, well, of course they are. Obvious, it goes without saying. And I'm like, and so I waited. I'm like, okay, so you know, and I get done, and we and I said, listen, I said, I know the answer to most of the questions I'm going to ask you. I said, but people don't want to hear the there's only so much of the radio fatty they want to hear. Tell them they want to hear the offensive tackle say this is it. Yeah. I said, so I'm asking you the question. So that you're the one answering it, right? Because it carries more weight. You play for the Chiefs. He goes, all right, man, I feel you. I got you. I said, I said, okay, I just want to be cool. I want to be clear. I said, I'm not trying to – and listen, he hadn't sucked yet, by the way. Yep. I think it was like before week one.
And then you beat him with a swim move.
Yeah, yeah. I swam right by him. And
like, damn it.
Well, you started talking to Mitchell Schwartz.
Now, hold on. Yeah, hold on. 20-second timeout. You better step with the bull rush.
I will. I've got a good bull rush. I'll tell you a story.
Oh, no, not that story again.
No, it's not football.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that story when you ran over the you were playing center. And
no, I've never never told you.
Yes, you did.
A high school football story ever.
I think it was grade school.
I sure as hell haven't told you that. But, you know, and so he was like, I'm like, well, you know, and I get it when you're, you were an All-American, you were great, and then you're a failure with the Browns, for lack of a better term. And then you've come here and you're being criticized. You know, I get it. But then I saw him kind of biting the head off somebody else, and I was like, you know, like so is that – I don't know his personality. I don't know what's going on. But, like, I give you – Andy Reid standing up there, no one's ever made a mistake. It's never been the players. And, you know, I got some grief from some of the guys in the hall. It doesn't matter who today. I go, you're going to defend Andy Reid? Because I said yesterday, I said, well, I'm going to defend Andy Reid. Listen, I've said this a million times. There's a lot of things about Andy Reid that drive me crazy. You know, there's some things he does that are good and make my job easier. The other things that are a real pain in the ass. But it's fine. He's a good guy to deal with. I have no rub with Andy Reid. But it's not like everything with Andy Reid is, you know, like unicorns and sugar, okay, in this job. But it's fine. My point is, he came out and he's like, yeah, this one's on me. Like, that game was totally not on him.
Not at all.
It was all on the players. And so when you constantly are making excuses for the players, is what you get are, you know, Cam Irving pissed because I asked the difference between, like, hey, get better. Like, because I'm going to tell you right now, not for one second do I buy that LeSean McCoy wasn't active because he's older and they're saving him for the last six games. You've got to be kidding me. That is blanking insane.
Yeah,
and
I did not get that.
There's no way. They clearly benched him for something.
Right.
Now, was it he ran through practice, palming the ball, and got it knocked out again, and he went, that's it. I've had enough of it, and you're going to sit. And to wake it up, to put the ball away, let's see when LeSean McCoy plays how he's carrying the football. And I don't give a crap that when he fumbled it, he wasn't palming the ball.
Well, you know what?
And one more person sends me that email. You know, go snuggle with LeSean McCoy, you jackass. That's not the point. The point is he doesn't take care of the ball. He's put it on the ground twice. But like I don't know why he keeps putting Cam Irving out on an island. Chronic thing number two is constantly making excuses. Like, what would be the value if he went Bill Parcells on somebody? If he went Jimmy Johnson on somebody and walked up to the podium and, you know, and said, or even just Cam Irving, and not Cam Irving, but whoever is dragging their pillowcase full of their crap out the front door at the time the media is arriving for whatever thing, so you can make an example that it won't be tolerated. It will not be pretty. Your ass will be cut.
Right.
It's
well, that's I don't know. And I could be completely off base here because I don't think anybody
would
knows.
Marty blow anybody up?
Yeah, well, Marty would cut somebody after a loss all the time. If you're on the bottom of the, he would yank you. But
would he blow a guy up?
Yes.
Would he call a guy out in the media?
In the media, he wouldn't say that it was on him. I'll tell you that. He would point out that, listen, the offensive line didn't play very well. We didn't, you know, just for example, you know, we made too many dumb penalties. You know, we are not playing, you know, smart
Reed
football.
Said those things.
Yeah, he did for the first time.
Well, I mean, he's like, look, we all got to do better. It starts with me.
Yeah, I know.
Blah, blah, blah. Well, take the me part out.
Yeah. Right. We all have to do better. You know what? The penalties are killing us. And it goes back to the little things. But I don't know this, but maybe, and on this one, I'm hoping that maybe McCoy said, listen, he's pouting a little bit. And maybe not putting in the effort of practice, maybe not putting the effort in the classroom or in the weight room. He's kind of feeling sorry for himself, wasn't getting the reps. And he's like, all right, dude, you're not dressing this week. And maybe the other guys are looking at this saying, hey, that could be me, so I better not, you know, because there has to be a message sent going back to my initial point. The little things, and I know that's corny. Believe me, I heard it for 11 years, and he used to be like, don't say it again. But it's true. You have to do those little things because winning and losing in the NFL is such a fine line. And especially when you had an offense like we did, where we scored 17 or 21 points, that was a big day. So we couldn't have some of those penalties. If we had a touchdown call back, we're probably losing the game, right? Mm-hmm. We're probably losing the game. So, you know, that's what's happening right now. I think this team has got an abundance of, you know, Tyreek Hill. Basically, you know, listen, they couldn't run the ball that effectively. They were running the ball with Tyreek Hill. They kept throwing the ball in the flat or like 4 or 5 yards, and he'd make guys miss. The tackling by the Titans was horrendous. They could not tackle him.
Tyreek Hill had 11 catches on 19 targets and probably four of them were drops.
What was his yak?
Well, he when he caught it, he was great.
Yeah.
But even he on his 11 for 157 and a touch had some drops, and they were big.
Mm-hmm. But part of the drops, and we could go back and forth on this, is all of a sudden they just said this, and this was a halftime adjustment. They were playing zone. Guys were running wide open underneath, and they said, screw that. We're going what the Colts did. We're going to play with a safety deep in the middle of the field, and we're going to play man, and we are not going to let the receivers off the ball cleanly. And we're going to be right in their jock strap, and if they're going to make a catch, it's going to be contested. And that causes issues with some of these guys because they're littler guys. Tyreek Hill's a littler guy. I mean, he's not a big, lengthy guy, so he does much better when he has space. But it's hard to get a hand on him. But if you get a hand on him, you can cover him.
I mean, the Chiefs had, 200 and – what did they have at the half? Let me look here. What did they have total? 530. They had in the second half, so you're saying they made adjustments. In the second half, they had – 276 yards of offense.
Yeah.
So it didn't work.
But, well, there was more drops in the second half. When they didn't catch the ball, the problem playing man is you're going to get beat for big plays. So when they were catching the ball underneath and doing these crossing patterns, and Kelce was catching the ball at 10 or 15 yards, and Tyreek Hill was catching the ball and running, you know, the when you go man and you give these guys an opportunity, like there was a couple times when Tyreek Hill, they couldn't get a hand on him. He beat him, and it was big plays. There was more big plays, I thought, in the second half. Look at the Hardman play. They were playing man against him. He got caught up. They got caught up in traffic with the guy who was covering him. The little jump pass gave him a little bit of time. That was a big play, too. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, there was more yardage and more points probably scored against that man, but the catches weren't as easy. They were more contested catches. That's why there were some drops.
All right, we'll take a break. More with Tim Grunhard next here in the program.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Chargers are next, Tim. Chargers are next.
In Mexico.
Yes.
Corona.
Yes.
Premier.
Yes. Familia as well. You can get the Corona Familia as well. You can get that now here in Kansas City, by the way, also. Do you expect the Chiefs to switch Chris Jones to defensive end?
I think that they play much better against the run with him out there. I don't know why that is. When Clark is in there, it just seems to me, I don't get it, it's something to watch, but I don't think they play as well against the run. I don't know if people are trying to do too much or, you know, there's a kind of an inner challenge to everybody to make plays in the backfield or to try to do something special when he's in there. I don't know. Just it's something for everybody to kind of watch and say, you know, when Clark is in there, they struggle against the run. And when he's not in there, the last couple of games, they didn't struggle against the run. There's something there. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to watch and see what I can find.
Well, I think the problem is Chris Jones in the interior.
Well, maybe he's trying to do too much. That's been his MO. And that was his MO last year when you know, against the run, is he'd be trying to get to the quarterback and, you know, instead of, you know, you're a defensive end, you got to hold that end, and I don't know. You're hanging your linebackers out to dry if you're not doing your job on the defense, especially at defensive tackle.
I know that no one was complaining about the linebackers in games 7, 8,
no,
and 9.
No, they were not.
And Colin Saunders and Derek Nnadi were on the inside. Chris Jones, I mean, listen, what do you suppose he weighs now?
He looks big. I don't know. I have no idea. What would you guess?
Oh, I think when you look at him in the locker room, I mean, like big, yes, he's a big build.
Yeah.
But there's big. There's no
he's
fat
lost weight. No, the videos that he was showing in the offseason of him
really
working out.
Yeah.
Like he was lighter than he was a year
ago. So yeah, you know what? If he's down there, hell yeah, put him at defensive end.
I mean, he looks the part of a defensive end right now.
Right.
I mean, there's no bulk and he's quick. I mean, and he's got real man strength. Listen, you love him. Like, play him D-end on the rundowns and play him D-tackle on the no-brainer passing downs.
Yeah.
This is not the riddle I think it appears to be for others, but I don't get it.
I don't get it. I think it's something to watch, and it'll be interesting to see if the Chiefs put him out there. And I don't
know.
Do
they win?
I don't.
Do they win?
I do. I do think they'll win.
Okay.
I think the Chargers are cooked after that Raider game.
I think they would have been cooked had the Chiefs held on against the Titans and been three down.
Yeah.
I think two down, you look at it and say,
we
got to do is beat these guys twice.
I do want to send a quick shout out to my nephew, Patrick Harrington, who's in the hospital. He's having some treatment done for some cancer. And he said, I'm going to listen all week to the shows. He's listening right now, Patrick.
Oh, that's awesome, Patrick.
Yes.
We're with you, buddy.
We're with you.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you for pointing that out, Tim. Yeah. Absolutely. We will take a break here in the program. When we come back, Danny Klingscale, we get a lot lighter in here in this room.
Literally.
Danny Unleashed coming up next.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, Sammy Sosa is 51 today. Who gave up his first Major League home run? Brought to you by Good Sense.